Welcome to From the Rooftop Music Podcast, a production of Rooftop Music Rehearsal and Recording Studio, located in beautiful downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee. Greetings, music lovers, and welcome to this first edition of From the Rooftop Music Studio Podcast. Today, our guest is local musician and national marketing consultant, Jim Higgins. Jim is a local working drummer, playing with the Chattanooga Horn Authority, Robin Baker Blues Band, and Jamie Lee in the Classics. This episode looks to be the first of a series of episodes I'm titling Escaping the Man, Embracing the Gig. The idea was to feature local working musicians who have regular rat race jobs, and in their set-aside music time, they're rehearsing and gigging in a live music setting. I wanted to tell local musicians stories about living this double life, and I don't think I could have found a better first episode subject than Jim Higgins. Jim, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. And just first off, you live in Chattanooga, correct?
Yes, actually just outside of Chattanooga. I'm up in Ottawa, but I'm downtown on a pretty regular basis and throughout the area with all the activity that I'm doing.
Great. And you're married with children? What's your home life?
Married to my high school sweetheart. We're about to celebrate our 46th anniversary in September.
Wow.
I have three adult children, one who lives here in Signal Mountain, a daughter with two granddaughters. I've got another daughter who lives in Brooklyn, in a brownstone next to Jackie Robinson's house.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was pretty cool. And I have a son out in Seattle who works for Xbox programming their front end.
Very cool. You've got people spread all over and you've got like a nice big family support unit. So tell me about your day job, a little bit about anything that you're doing that's kind of separate from music. The idea in this podcast is to kind of frame your life in your day job and doing the rat race things, and then talk a little bit about your music love and your passion and all the work, blood, sweat, and tears that you put into that in almost another life that you're leading.
Well, my day job has changed dramatically in the last year and a half, Tony. In January of 2024, I made the decision to go on to Social Security and semi-retire from a full-time job. Prior to that, I was a slave to, you know, the morning commute, the evening commute, and 40 or 50 hours a week in the office. But when I finally got to that point where I could do what I wanted to do, collect Social Security, cash in on some of the hard work I've done over the years, I took the chance to focus on my music. It's something I've waited all my life for. And right now, I've managed to get involved in three different bands. I'm rehearsing two or three nights a week. I'm playing out three or four times a month. But I'm also keeping involved in the marketing career that I spent 40 plus years in. I've had a relationship with a company that was originally up in Stamford, Connecticut, for about 10 or 12 years, where they are a small marketing agency. And when I decided to retire, the owner is a fellow I've been working with for many years. He asked me if I would stay on board as a consultant and just work part-time. So now I just work out of my home. I still work 15, 20, sometimes 30 hours a week, but I don't have to commute to an office. It's mostly done through Zoom, just like we're doing this meeting today. And I'm able to keep my hand in the things that I've done all my life, but I've been able to free up my life to really jump full time into music. In fact, my wife joking with me now, she said, you just traded one job for another.
That's great to hear. I'm happy for you. And, you know, throughout your marketing career, did your love for music and your music journey play any role in that?
One of the things about being a drummer, Tony, is if you have a sense of rhythm, and even if you can't play your instrument, every car has a dashboard and a steering wheel. I can't listen to music without it coming out of my hands.
Oh, that's awesome.
I drive my poor wife crazy, but every time music comes on, I'm tapping the tempo. And because of that, I never really lost the chops over the years that I kind of stepped aside to build my career. And when it was time to get back into it again, it was like they say, it was like riding a bike. I just had to play for a couple of years to get good again, but I hadn't really forgot how to do it. And it was great. I mean, when I came down here to Chattanooga, I just thought this was the greatest place ever because the music scene here was amazing. Every time I went out, I met new musicians. And every time I met new musicians, it would expand my universe to other musicians. So it was a great experience to the point now where I'm probably connected to 50 or 60 people on Facebook, a third of whom I might not have even met, but we're all in the club, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, we're all music brothers. And you moved down here from up in the Northeast, is that correct?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Lived there till I was almost 60 years old. Spent 4 years in the Washington, D.C. area college at the University of Maryland. But other than that, before I moved here, I was a Philadelphian through and through.
Awesome.
I came down to accept a position with a company in Cleveland called Check Into Cash as their chief marketing officer. And that's what moved me to Chattanooga. And I went out and did some other things about 4 years ago.
Awesome. And so I can think of numerous musicians that are near and dear to me from Philadelphia. So that sounds like it was a great hotbed of musical influences. What were some of your early music influences that made you want to pursue playing music?
Well, what made me really get interested initially was my dad was a guitar player. And my dad and I were very close. He was only 20 years old when I was born. So
wow.
I like to say I knew him all of his adult life.
Yeah.
And probably when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, he used to occasionally take me to his band rehearsal. And I was fascinated by the drum kit. I mean, every time the guy hit a cymbal or clicked a hi-hat, I just like the hair stood up on the back of my neck. I loved it. So at around 10, dad bought me some drum lessons. And around 12, I got my first drum kit. And by the time I graduated high school from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, which is right outside of Philadelphia and was a very up and coming area back in the 70s when I was in school, I had played with every musician in every band that existed in the years I was in high school. And then I went away to college, and we all know drums aren't the kumbaya instrument you sit around a campfire and sing songs with. So I didn't bring them with me. The next thing I knew, I hadn't played them for 32 years.
Oh, man.
Discovered electric drums. I could play with headphones, and it wouldn't drive people crazy. And that's what got me back into it. And now I'm on my fourth acoustic kit, and I've had two electric kits, and it's almost like an illness at this point.
That's awesome. What were some of the drummers?
The early influences. I'm sorry, I went down the wrong path.
Early age.
Well, obviously the Beatles. I grew up with the Beatles. I watched them in second grade on the Ed Sullivan Show in their first appearance and followed them all the way through Abbey Road and Let It Be when they broke up. But I really have to tell you, one of the bands that I loved from the very first time I heard them and I still love today was Chicago. That horn rock sound just had something to it. I'll never forget a very progressive experimental radio show in Philadelphia back in the late 60s, early 70s called the Marconi Experiment. And they would play elevator music all day long. But between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock at night, the show would come on called the Marconi Experiment. And he would introduce Philly to all this new progressive psychedelic music. I remember hearing bands like the Chambers Brothers and Chicago and Sly and the Family Stone, whoever was big at the time. But I couldn't get past Chicago. And I went out and bought every one of the albums they had. And I just thought Danny Seraphine was the best drummer I'd ever heard. And now I'm playing his music with the Chattanooga Horn Authority. And I can't believe it.
That's awesome. First concert?
First concert I saw was my high school hero, Rod Stewart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right around the time Maggie May had come out. It was a great show. I loved it. Certainly wasn't my last.
Awesome. What's your most recent concert?
There is a regional band out of Southern California that's been through Chattanooga a few times called Robert John and the Wreck. Don't know if you've heard of them. They've played at Songbirds. I've seen them at Songbirds 3 times. They are an amazing bluesy Southern rock band out of Southern California. You'd never believe that coming out of Orange County. But I'd seen them at Songbirds once and they blew me away. And every time they come to town, I saw them, and I saw them probably about a little over a year ago in March of last year.
Awesome. And you're probably busy in three bands. You probably don't have a whole lot of time to go see concerts, and you probably don't have a lot of time to take your wife to dinner.
Well, I do try and keep things in balance, Tony. That's why I've been able to tag 46 years on, and she's not just my wife, she's still my girlfriend.
That's awesome.
We have a great
congratulations. That's great to hear. What are some of the things that keep you balanced in your relationship with her and the rest of your family while you're spending 20, 25 hours a week at your day job and then spending probably more time than that in your gigging job? What's your secret? What's the sauce?
I think the word you started that with was balance. I think making sure that you don't go too far in any of those directions where you're leaving things out. I've always been a busy guy, and through most of my career before I went into the semi-retirement mode, it wasn't unusual for me to leave for work at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning and not come home until 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night. So one of the things I learned when my kids were young was it wasn't about how much time, but how you spent that time. Quality over quantity, so to speak. And that's how I try to keep the balance. I make sure that my wife and I do go out to dinner once a week. And we do have time with our friends that isn't music related. And yet she'll be there to support me coming to my gigs. And she's made friends with a lot of the music community friends I have. So we try and keep things in balance. And I do the same thing with my kids. We talk once or twice a week, make sure we stay in touch. We're on top of what's going on. You just can't go too far in any one direction.
Yeah, that's good advice for anybody watching this or listening to it.
Read the clues. If you feel you're getting pushback, respond to that.
Right. When you first started, you probably met your wife or your girlfriend and significant other to this day after you started playing music and being really engulfed in this other part of your life outside of her. Did you have any conversations with her on the outset where you had to grease the skids sort of and say, hey, look, I'm a musician. It is what it is.
Well, we met in high school. So we were both quite young. I think she was 16. It was the week before my 17th birthday when we had our first date. So there wasn't really a lot of future planning in that relationship. I was a musician when she met me. As I said, in high school, I had played with every musician that was in my school, and it was a school of close to 4,000 kids.
Wow.
So she knew what I was when we met. The funny thing was, as we got married and had kids and built a career, and music wasn't really a big part of that. And when I started getting involved in it again, there was maybe even a little bit of pushback. But I said, look, Mira, I've waited all my life to come back and do this. And she's a great person. She said, okay, let's, just don't go out of balance with it. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
At first
she was a little concerned, but now she's very supportive, and like I said, she goes to gigs with me regularly and puts up with multiple rehearsals. I think over the next 10 days I have 2 days where I don't have something going on for music.
That's a lot of balance, I know. I think the advice to anybody listening to this and how to manage that is balance and great communication, understanding that you need to communicate to your significant other what's on your mind and listen to what's on their mind. And, with my wife, I find that as well, because I stay pretty busy with music as well.
Well, I mean, music is extremely important to me, Tony, but my relationship with my family is number one. And if anything was going to get in the way of that, I would adjust accordingly. But like I said, they've been really supportive. So it's been great. I've been able to chase this dream.
Great. That's good to hear. So other than your father, any other musicians in your family?
No, believe it or not, I came from a family of artists, visual artists, but my dad was the only one that actually played an instrument.
Interesting. And you're gigging, you're doing a lot of work. I know you said on X10 days, you're gigging how many times a week?
Well, the next few weeks is really busy. It's not so much the gigging as it is the rehearsals.
Right.
Playing three bands, I usually end up with two or three rehearsals a week. So that keeps you pretty busy. I probably gig on average two or three times a month, but got a lot of stuff coming up this month with these bands. We're doing the Freedom Festival in Collegedale on July 3rd before the fireworks. And then we're doing Clyde's on July 5th. We're doing the market again. And these are all with the Chattanooga Horn Authority on July 20th. I've got a gig with Robin Baker Band in between there. I've got a gig right after the July 20th with Jamie Lee and the Classics. So June and July is really busy. And I'm actually booked in gigs right now out through September. So,
wow.
I'm blessed.
That's fantastic.
I'm playing with some good people who are easy to hire.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. So let's talk, Jim, about the Chattanooga music scene. I know I moved up here from Naples, Florida. I was in a band down there, and it was really hard to get a gig. There weren't a lot of music clubs. Everything shuts down around 9 o'clock, even on the weekends. So I moved to Chattanooga, and I was pleasantly surprised about the music scene. You're in Philadelphia. Fantastic music and arts city, and you moved to Chattanooga. What could you say about the Chattanooga music scene and what you found since moving here?
Well, I don't know if it would be fair for me to compare it to the Philadelphia scene because I wasn't quite as active in the music activity when I was up there. I'm sure there's a very vibrant scene there, but I just wasn't part of it. I was still coming back into learning how to play drums again or building my skill set back up. When I came down here, one of the things I bumped into was open mics, and I never really saw that up in the Philly area. So I started to attend some of the open mics, and I met people like Rick Rushing and Robin Baker and Ran Adams, who may he rest in peace.
Really
welcoming musicians, and they wanted to make sure that if you put your name on that piece of paper, you got up on the stage and played. And that was really my introduction to this. It started at Songbirds. It's moved over to Gate 11. There's a number of other open mics now in places like Cherry Street and Rumors. And you probably know them as well as I do.
Right.
But to me, that was something that was, at least in my experience, unique to Chattanooga and was a great way to break into the music community and meet people. Being a drummer is a little different, I think, because I don't go around with a portfolio of songs I've been playing. I have to really learn the songs that the other musicians play to be able to play along with them. I probably have 400 songs in my portfolio that I've played. But what I found is when I play with other musicians, it's like, send me your set list. Because it's a lot easier to drum to these songs than it is to know all the chords or know all the leads or do all the parts that the other musicians have to do.
That's interesting.
The other thing I found cool with open mics is you don't know what you're going to get. So it really improves your skills to be able to listen, interpret, and play on the fly.
Great point. Do you have a go-to open mic these days that you would fancy more during the week than another?
Well, the one that I probably spent the most time in fact, I've been the house drummer for it all this month of June with my friend Jimmy Gagliano, Jimmy G and friends, is the one at Gate 11 on Monday nights. It was Robin had started it for about a year and a half as the Monday Night Blues Jam. Now it's being hosted every month by a different host. And it seems to be one of the more fun places that a lot of folks that I connect and play with show up to play.
Great. And that's on Monday nights?
Every Monday night from 8 to 10.
Great. Good to hear. What about I'm familiar with Chattanooga Horn Authority, a little bit familiar with Robin Baker. I've seen some stuff on Facebook for Jamie Lee. What would you say the percentage of original music to covers that you play in those three bands?
Well, with Chattanooga Horn Authority, it's all covers. We aren't quite a Chicago tribute band because we do stuff from other horn bands as well, but it's all in that theme, and it's all, as someone that I've played with likes to say, that was an original we didn't write.
That's a great way of putting it.
Their stuff was just so good. It's hard to write stuff like that.
It really is, yeah.
Robin Baker, Robin does some original stuff. Robin's been around playing blues for a long, long time, and he's written many songs. He's got albums on Spotify and Apple Music. He's a seasoned pro. And what he doesn't write, he rearranges a lot of the old classic blues. Jamie Lee and the Classics is purely a cover band. I don't mean this in a negative sense, but they're your typical bar cover band. They're playing, right, you know, pop classic rock that people want to hear. And I was fortunate enough to join them recently when their drummer left. They needed someone to fill in for some gigs, so that's probably my newest project right now.
And you're playing during the week most of the time on the weekend?
Most of the gigs are on weekends, Fridays or Saturdays, okay, or the market on Sundays. Most of the rehearsals are during the week.
Right. And when you're rehearsing, you're obviously juggling late nights rehearsing with your day job. What's your approach there? How do you approach that and kind of disconnect from work to get to rehearsal and then disconnect from rehearsal to get up and go to work in the morning? One thing I know, because I'm a working musician too, is after a rehearsal or a gig, I can't sleep. You know, I'm
with you.
I'm up till 1 o'clock in the morning. And what's your approach there?
Well, again, I'm kind of fortunate that, you know, I don't have to be in an office at 8 o'clock. So, you know, if I have last night, I did the Monday Night Blues Jam with Jimmy G. I got home at 11 o'clock and I couldn't fall asleep till about 2, but I didn't have a call today till 10. So I was able to kind of catch up on a couple hours of extra sleep in the morning. I'm still looking for the rehearsal that would be less than 45 minutes away from Ottawa. So part of my decompression is driving to the rehearsal. And you've got this, you know, 45 minutes, if you got to take 24 or 45 days to get to your rehearsal location. So that's sort of my transition period. I'll jump in the car, plug in the playlist of the band that I'm going to rehearse with, and reframe my head into what I'm going to run into there.
Awesome. Just for anybody viewing or listening that don't know Rooftop Music, it's a rehearsal and a recording studio, full back line, downtown Chattanooga in the Arts District. And we rent a space by the hour, and $25 an hour, 2 hour minimum. If anybody out there needs rehearsal space and doesn't want to drive all across the county, I'm centrally located 5 minutes from Miller Plaza. So selfish plug there.
Yeah, it's a great looking facility, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Do you guys use any of your bands use a booking agent, or how are you guys doing gigs in Chattanooga?
What has been your experience? Authority is getting booked through a booking agent.
Okay.
I don't know if it's really appropriate to mention it, but he's a fairly well-known guy. Books a lot of the big venues here in Chattanooga.
Good to hear.
Robin and Jamie Lee pretty much handle their own booking.
What has been your experience? And this kind of goes back to one of the questions I asked before about the Chattanooga music scene. It seems like there's a lot of places to play here in Chattanooga. And for me, I'm old school. I'm used to just going and talking to bar owners and asking them who does the booking. And then I'm a marketing guy as well and following up there. So for someone that is just putting a band together that may not be familiar with the Chattanooga music scene, do you have any experience helping guys put together EPKs or going out and booking bands in some of the local venues?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, once a band brings me on board and finds out what my background was, it's like, oh, can you help us market the band? So I think, you know, you've got to look at the band like you would look at any other product. You've got a brand. You want to have an identity to that brand. If you notice, the three bands I have up here on the left all have logos and they all have identities. Some I've been responsible for, some not. But you've got to build this like you're building a business, a company. So, you know, brand the band, find channels to promote the band through, connect. Facebook has a lot of really good groups in Chattanooga for who's playing around where. And that's one of the best ways to start seeing, oh, these guys are playing Bud Sports Bar. Oh, these guys are playing at Doc Holliday's. Oh, these guys are playing at Las Margaritas in Cleveland. You start getting a feel for where the venues are. And then it's, you know, dialing for dollars, going out, talking to them, picking up the phone, calling them. They're always looking for good bands. You need to have a demo reel for your band. So that, you know, what I like to do is set up a YouTube page and then put any of the stuff that we have on those bands up on the YouTube page and then point somebody to it. But also maybe have a little QR code or that you can put on things. It goes to a demo reel on YouTube and people can hear who you are. Contacting them, hearing you, being realistic, looking like you're legit with a brand and a Facebook page and some followers are all key elements to getting you gigs.
Good point. And then one of the things.
Building a following, I'm sorry. I've had some people complain to me, hey, I can't get a gig in this place. Well, you know, you're not from around here. You haven't had a band for a while. You don't have a following. These guys are booking you because they want people to come into their business and buy food and cocktails, not because they want to pay somebody to play music. And if you're not bringing people in, it's hard to get hired.
Yeah, that's a good point. Another selfish plug, if you don't have content, you know, we do that here. I can put a camera up and a couple of good microphones up and record your rehearsals if you want, which will give you some content. But you make great points. You have to have somewhere where bar owners and booking agents can meet you in the middle. And if you don't have content, you can't put anything on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram. So great points all around that.
I mean, Tony, you're a marketing guy. It's like any other marketing issue. This isn't about you. This is about what you can do for them to fit a need. And when you can present yourself that way, it's not we're the greatest band in the world. We're a band that's going to bring people in to your establishment. We've got a following. We've got people who like us, people who know who we are. They've heard us. And that's how you get booked.
Yeah, I've talked to just setting up this podcast. I've received some good feedback from people talking about balance of their day job with their music job. And one guy said something like, you don't want to play out too much because you become sort of oversaturated. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion there?
I agree. I mean, or if you're going to play out a lot, don't play in the same places. You know, you're in a situation where a classic example, I've got a gig with Robin Baker with a particular place here where about every 6 weeks they book us. So we're playing there multiple times a year. They like having us there, but we're not there all the time. And it gives them a chance to slot five other acts in on weekends in between us.
Good points. I believe music and the music journey, especially for us OGs, right? You and I are not
definitely OGs.
Chickens.
You're probably a little more new.
When you started this journey, have you gotten out of it what you wanted from the outset? What your dream was, for lack of a better expression?
Yes. I still pinch myself when they put the money in my hand and say, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this. And I tell people half jokingly, I play for free. I get paid to drag my gear around, set it up, break it down and pay for it. But we play the music for free. And there's nothing better than the feeling you get when you're making sounds and everybody in the room's heads are going up and down, or they're getting up out of their chairs and dancing, I can't tell you what that does to me, but that's what drives me to do it. Awesome. I'd do it for free if somebody else set my gear up.
drums are not just as easy as guitars and amps. What advice do you have for other musicians, younger musicians particularly, who want to do this and have a dream and a desire, but they got a day job and they're paying the bills and they're trying to do this incredible balancing act between schlepping it for the man and pursuing music, and they just can't not have a day job because, you know, you've got life and you've got bills and you've got some of them a family, significant others. We've talked a little bit about it, but just any parting thoughts there?
Well, I mean, this may come a little different than what you'd expect, but I think the first thing you have to do is decide what's the most important thing in your life. At 23 years old, I got married. And at that time, the most important thing in my life was my new wife and my new life that I was going to build. And I couldn't build it around music. There wasn't going to be enough income. And I wasn't going to be able to build that career. I recognized very early that, you know, music's a lot like sports.
Yeah.
100,000 kids play sports in college, and maybe 1,000 of them become professionals. Music's the same way. Keep grounded to what's important. And if you're able to fit the music in, then do it. But if your lifestyle is such, you know, if you're a single guy and you don't have, or a girl and you don't have a family, and you can put that in front of everything else, then go for it. But most importantly, keep balance. Don't put all your eggs in any one basket. Make sure that you've always got some things to fall back on and you don't burn any bridges.
Great advice. Great advice. Jim, thank you for being here today. Lord knows you're busy. I really appreciate it. There was a little bit of prep work I asked you to do, and I know you're busy juggling life, schlepping it for the man, and music with three bands. I do look forward to seeing you play in the coming months. I know you said you've got some things on the calendar. Can you just tell us a little bit about where you're playing over the summer?
Sure. Sure, I'll be with the Chattanooga Horn Authority on July 3rd in Collegedale at the Commons, playing before the fireworks exhibition Thursday night. We'll be with the Horn Authority again on Saturday at Clyde's on Main from 9 to midnight. I will be with the Robin Baker Blues Band at Doc Holliday's on Saturday, July 19th. Be at the Chattanooga Market with the Horn Authority on Sunday, the 20th. And then the following weekend, I'll be with Jamie Lee and the Classics at Zoe's up in Lakeside, awesome. Saturday night, the 26th.
Great. Well, thank you. Sounds like we have some good opportunities to check it out. We'll certainly get out there and check it out. Everyone listening, thank you for listening. From the Rooftop podcasts can be streamed from our website, rooftop-music.com, and also the YouTube channel, which is Rooftop Music Space. So YouTube at Rooftop Music Space. And Jim, we'll see you on stage soon. Thank you again.
Tony, thank you for having me. It's a great opportunity. I'm looking forward to seeing this series.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care.
From the Rooftop Music Podcast is brought to you by Rooftop Music Rehearsal and Recording Studio, Chattanooga, Tennessee. For more information, please visit rooftop-music.com.